In the last verse of the 12th chapter, we're told that the judge of Israel, the 12th judge of Israel, by the name of Abdon, had died. And after he died, the children of Israel went back doing the very same thing they did every time a judge died. They went back into sin and idolatry and the rest, and when they would go back into sin, God would allow them to be overrun by the enemy, and after a while they would cry out to God to have mercy and to give deliverance, and God would give them another judge, and they would serve the Lord for a while. And when the judge died, it seemed like the people were bent on going right back, and they did it after Abdon died, the 12th judge. And we find that when you come to the 16th chapter of Judges, the Philistines, the enemy of God's people, had dominated God's people now for 40 long years. Been no judge in Israel after Abdon, and for 40 years they suffered. And some years earlier, before this time, an angel came to a lady by the name of Mrs. Manoah and said to her, "You're going to have a son. He's going to be a special son, and he's literally going to be the deliverer of my people, God's people." And you know the story, how that Samson was born. Let me just leave something in your thought this morning. Because of a decision that our president made recently that had to do with religious freedoms. And there's an uprising amongst the Catholics primarily, but any Christian ought to be concerned any time the president or anyone can tell us that we cannot worship according to the dictates of our hearts. We're on a downward trend. And not only that, but rather than it being a religious thing, it has been now changed by the liberals to be a gender thing. That is really that anyone that is against what our president has declared is anti-woman, and we're trying to take their freedoms away from them. And in the course of all of this, we've heard a lot about the Planned Parenthood. Have you heard of Planned Parenthood? And let me just say today, they are a secular liberal group, but they do a lot of good. And they do a lot of harm. They have been the source of killing thousands upon thousands of babies in abortion. But let me just say this right now. Samson's birth was not connected to Planned Parenthood of this world. His birth was the plan of God. Planned by Almighty God. Angel came and told Mrs. Manoah she's going to have a son, and he arrived on the scene just like the angel said. He was dedicated to God as a child, and the Bible tells me he was raised in a home where parents loved God and served God and feared God, and when he grew into manhood, God anointed him. He was to be God's man for the hour, the deliverer of the children of Israel, and he became the judge and the deliverer and the champion for the nation of Israel, and God gave him great victories as he was the leader of his people. And because of that, when Samson was nearby, anywhere Samson was, the people felt safe and secure because Samson was there and he was God's man in their behalf. And in fact, his life, and maybe you can jot this down in your mind, his life in the early years, being God's man, is a good example for each one of us. I'm going to mention three or four things. Think about it, and then I'm going to read the scripture. Samson had godly parents. I would to God that everybody that I know had godly parents. He was raised in a good home. Some people are not raised at all. He had God's anointing upon his life. And he won great victories over the enemy. God had blessed him. I'm going to read from the 15th verse of the 16th chapter. And Delilah is speaking to Samson, beginning with the 15th verse. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, of Samson's head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord hath departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And I'm going to conclude the reading of the word right there. Let me just mention from the 20th verse. When they had done this to Samson and awakened him, the Bible said he shook himself as at other times, and he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. And I'm not going to preach from that this morning, but let me just leave that thought in your mind. What a sad picture. God had left Samson. God was no longer with Samson. God was separated from Samson, and Samson didn't know it. He wished not that the Lord had departed. There are literally thousands upon thousands today, I believe this, in churches this morning, that wish not that the Lord has departed. Going on their way, religious, doing religious things, singing, teaching. Samson the champion, having been blessed of God, anointed of God. And now, the Bible says, when he awakens, he shakes himself and said, I'll go out and I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do that. Not knowing that God's power, God's anointing was gone. We need the anointing of God, and we need to know that we have the anointing of God. We can talk about the anointing, but that's not enough. God, help us. He wished not that the anointing was gone, that God had departed. I'm going to go a different route in the 17th verse. Samson has accomplished great exploits, but his love affair that he had with Delilah has now become his downfall, his undoing. And when she continued to question him about his love for her, and he finally told her all of his heart, he said, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. I want to make a clarification so that everyone understands. Samson's strength was not in his hair. Samson's strength was in the fact that he obeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, being a Nazarite, when he had his hair shaven, God had told him what to do. Now when his hair is shaven, it's not so much that his hair was shaven, his locks were cut off, the fact that he had disobeyed God. Let me just leave this with you as well. He should have never been with Delilah. Sometimes young people learn too late. They mess up their lives. They meet a young man. He says, I'll go to church with you. He'll go to church for a while and seem like everything's all right. Maybe even get in the choir and sing and what have you. Decided going to get married. Hadn't got saved yet, but he's right in there and getting married. And I know this happened in one couple. When they got married, they got the orders to go to England. And on the ship, going across the Atlantic Ocean, the man turned to his wife and said, I don't want you to talk to me about the Lord while we were in England for these 3 years. I'm not going to church. I'm not interested in church. And I don't want you to harass me with it or bother me with it. Be careful who you go with, young people. My daddy told me a long time ago, you will marry who you go with. And that's usually the case. And you go with the wrong one, you'll marry the wrong one. That's just extra good advice. The Bible says that when he disobeyed God, he now became as other men. Because he walked away from his upbringing. Because he compromised his convictions. Because he went against what God had told him, and now he has become as other men. And anyone that follows Samson's pattern, disobeying God and going against God's plan, is on their way down, becoming as other men. I read that chapter, verses 7 through 17, and I'm not going over today. They were the steps of Samson's downfall. He didn't completely tell her all the first time around. But then there's another, and then there's another, and then there's another. Listen closely. No one ever goes back on God in just one step. The devil will hinder, the devil will tip, and little by little by little by little, and first thing you know, Satan has you. Have you ever seen a spider in a spider web? And he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally a fly gets in the web and he's got it. Or have you seen that commercial? And I don't know which one it is, and I don't know who it is, but I don't know what kind of animal it is. Might be. I just don't know. He's waiting for that fly to fly around, and soon his tongue comes out. And he gets it. You know what the devil do? He'll hang around and hang around and hang around and hang around. And if you allow him to, he will get you. He'll get me. He said, Brother Jones, you're preaching to the church. If there's ever a need for the church today, it's this. Get in with both feet and make up your mind you're going to serve God in spite of anything that happens. There will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be hardships. There will be times when the devil will try to make you believe that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love you, that God is not mindful of you. Listen to your pastor today. God loves you more than you can imagine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is mindful of His children, and now Samson has become like any other man because of his compromise. That's Satan's goal for everyone, that we might compromise and that we might lose out. He wants the people to think that it's terrible to be different. Let me leave this again to the young people, and I wish the church was full of young people, but I want to preach to everybody today. The devil will make you believe, try to make you believe, that if you're not like everybody else, you're a weirdo. You're not bald. If you don't go to the places they go, if you don't dress like they dress, if you don't talk like they talk, if you don't act like they act, if you don't participate in the things that they participate in, you are a oddball. And no young person wants to be a weirdo. And the devil says, it won't hurt. It'll be all right. Just go along the little ways. Listen closely, young people, everybody. If you go one step, the devil will have you go two. Amen. Young people, and I don't know why this morning, right now, I feel so impressed. The devil is after your soul. And peer pressure is powerful. And when you don't dress or go some places like the others or whatever it is, and you sort of ostracize, you don't want to be different. You like to be liked. You like for everyone. You like to feel like you're part. You don't like to feel like you're sticking in the mud just because you're saved. You don't like to feel that way. Keep it in mind. You've got something that they need. Lift up your head. Don't compromise the upbringing. Don't compromise the truth. Don't compromise what you know. Hold on to God. It's going to be worth it all. In that day, Samson has been anointed by God. The Bible tells me he's killed a lion with his own hands. The Bible said he carried the gates of a city on his shoulder, lifted them up and put them on his shoulder, and walked off in the middle of the night. When the enemy had him all surrounded out there. Another time he picked up the jawbone of an ass and waded into the enemy and killed 1,000 of the enemy in one skirmish with God's anointing. If Samson can kill 1,000 with God's anointing, can't we do something with God's anointing? Surely. God had blessed him and used him and brought a time of peace to the people of Israel, and they were enjoying this great time with their leader, Samson, as their champion. And look at him there. How sad. What a picture. He's compromised. He's lost his strength. He's lost his power. He's not that happy person that he was. The joy's gone. Mark this down. The most important thing that Samson lost was his anointing with God. His anointing. God was no longer with him. My wife has testified and told me that is a feeling that no one, as a Christian, no one ever, ever, ever wants to feel. God told her to do something one time, and it was not easy. What God told her to do, she felt like she could not do it. And in her heart, she was saying, God, I cannot do that. And my wife said, God withdrew His Spirit from me. I couldn't feel Him. I'd go to pray. I couldn't feel Him anywhere. And finally she said, God, I'll do it. It's a terrible thing for God to withdraw His Spirit. And there'd be no anointing. We're praying as a church, God, give us a revival. Give us a revival. Give us a Holy Ghost revival. We can talk about what it used to be in the New Testament, what it was in the yesteryear, what it was in the early days of our ministry. And I thank God for all of that, but God, that's not enough. We need something now. Samson was a champion. God raised him up. God blessed him and used him. And the people were happy. And the victory was theirs. And they were enjoying the things of God in their lives. And now he's played around with sin and he's lost his anointing. And no longer is he able to lead the people to victory. And the people have said, why? Because he became like other men. Let me leave this with everyone today. It ought never to be our desire to be like the men of the world and all the people of the world. It ought to be our desire to be more like Jesus. Young people again, young people again. There's an urgency in my voice today. Whatever you do, don't ever have the desire to be like the world. You might be popular for a while, but it leaves you empty. Samson lost the anointing. But that wasn't all. The Bible tells me that his compromising cost him, and it cost him dearly. I say this to everyone, and I hope everyone here is ready for heaven. And if you are, I hope you'll stay ready for heaven. I want such a revival that everyone will get in and enjoy the blessings of God and have the victory. But Samson's compromising really cost something. Let me read the 20th and 21st verses again. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. I'm sure that Samson never in his wildest dreams ever thought that it would come to this. I am confident that he never thought it would turn out this way. But it cost him. Far beyond anything he could have ever imagined in his life, it cost him. Not only has he lost his hair, he's lost his freedom, his liberty, and the Bible says they have now bound him. I want to stop right here again. Please don't ever let the devil make you believe that if you serve God, you're bound. If there's anybody with freedom today, it's the man that's serving God. We can sing that song, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. Thank God I'm free. He has now lost his freedom. Let me leave this with you. And I'm not a politician, but I want you to pray. We are in a perilous time in America. I hope that will come across the way that I want it to come across. I want you to pray. America is going away from God. And America is now being separated from Israel. And if America separates from Israel, America is separating from Israel's God. And if America separates from Israel's God, brother, that's our God. We are living in a perilous hour. Because not only our president, but many others, have the idea that if we can just talk with one another, everything's going to work out all right. Listen closely. Everybody understand today, we cannot as a nation and we cannot as Christians, you cannot compromise with the world and have the victory. I'm not advocating war. But if there must be war, there must be war. And so I'll go along here. Let me keep on going. The Bible tells me he lost his liberty. Did you know we are free people today at a high price? Read about our founding fathers. Read about what they went through. Read the story of what they went through and what they gave up and how much they lost. Many of them lost everything they owned. Some of them lost their lives. You and I could be free. Every time I think of the military, and I was in the military 11 years. Every time I think of the military and what they have given for us, I was in the Korean War. Then they came after I got out of the Vietnamese War, and then so many other battles we've had, and now so many going on, so many young men and women have lost their lives. It's cost something. And I would like to stand as one man in America to say I thank every one of them for what they've done for us. What are you saying, preacher? When it comes to Christianity, some have paid the price, but Jesus Christ paid the supreme price that we might have victory. And today a lot of people have the idea that victory and freedom is not so important. Brother, it is precious. Ask Samson. He's a man that did his own thing and enjoyed life, had a good time. God gave him victory, but now he's bound. He's lost his freedom. And now his eyes have been gouged out. He's lost his sight. He cannot see any longer. He cannot judge any longer. He cannot be the people, the man that the people need. He's lost it. He's lost his strength. He's killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone. He's taken those gates of the city on his shoulder. He's done so many exploits, so many things he's done, but now he cannot do it any longer. He's blinded. He's weakened. And he's grinding at the meal. Some people have different ideas as exactly how it goes, and I don't know exactly, but he's grinding. He's taking the place of a mule. The mule would go round and around. I've never been to the mule to see the mule, but we were in Egypt, and we saw the mule, the donkey, around and around he would go. And going as he's going around, is pumping water out of the Nile River over into the land where they could have some irrigation. Here is Samson, taking the place of a mule. His eyes gouged out. His victory's gone. His joy's gone. His anointing is gone. And around and around and around and around, and the people are laughing and mocking all the time at this champion of Israel. Now look at him. Look at him. He's become as other men, and he's paying a high price. If I could leave this with everyone today, the high price of going back on God is higher than anyone wants to pay. The high price of missing heaven is higher than anyone here wants to pay. Samson has become like any other man. And he's paying a high price. He's humiliated. He's embarrassed. And the Bible tells me that what he has gone through as a man that has loved God and served God and had the victory with God and the blessings of the Lord. And he's lost all of this now. Everything's gone. The unsaved of the world try to make you believe that if you are serving God, that you're bound. If you live holiness, you're bound. If you don't go with the rest of the world, you're bound. And so I jotted some things down. If we don't run with the crowd, it's because we're bound, they say. If we don't go with the pleasures of the world, the ungodly entertainment, they say we're bound. If we don't dress like the world, we're bound. If we don't participate in sinful activities, we're bound. But let me leave something with you today. I was bound, but today I've been set free. When I was in sin, I was bound by sin. I did things I never thought I would do. I embarrassed my own self because I said some things I never thought I would say. But listen closely, when I got saved, I was set free by the power of God. Amen. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. When the Lord forgave me of my sins, brother, He didn't save me just half of my sins. He set me free from all of them. I've been delivered. So many people think that now that you live holiness, you believe in a holy life, you believe in being separated from the world, you don't go the same way, and you don't do the same things, you don't talk the same way. Now you just can't enjoy life. Brother, I've just begun to live. And listen closely, if that happens in your life like it ought to happen in each of our lives, it'll make a difference. I've told you the story, I'll tell you one more time, because it does me good. The day after I got saved, I went back to the radio station. In the Air Force, Mountain Home Air Force Base. And I've told you this, and I'm almost embarrassed to repeat it, but some of you haven't heard it, and it's real. We got our work done. And somebody said, "Sarge, break out the cards." I said, "I don't play cards anymore." Now, right then, they were sure I lost my mind. I'd been the ringleader. Not long after that, they came to my house one night after the bars closed. Had a case of beer. Knocked on the door. I went to the door not knowing. At the bars closed at 1 o'clock. Here it is after 1 o'clock, knocking on my door, and I went to the door, and they come bolting in with a case of beer, sitting on the table, and I was trying my best to quieten them down. Wife was in bed, and they began to open them. I said, "I don't drink anymore." They thought, surely I've lost my mind. But you know who was bound in that crowd? It wasn't me. I'd been set free. They looked at me like I was crazy, that I lost it all. And I'm here to tell you today that the man that is bound by sin needs to be delivered. I was set free by the power of God. And here is Samson. He's lost his hair. He's lost his sight. He's lost his strength. He's lost his joy. He's lost his freedom. He's bound. He's grinding at the mill. And that is a picture of the man that goes against God. Young people, that is the picture. And some people have laughed and mocked and made fun. While I was preaching, some have laughed and mocked and made fun when I said it will happen to you. It will happen to anybody. Anyone. Samson never thought it would happen to him. He's a champion. He's God's man. His very birth was ordained of God. It was planned by God. He was anointed by God. He was used by God. He was blessed by God. He was a blessing to the people because of the mercies of God. And now he's like all the other men. And his compromising has cost him a high cost. Yet his story doesn't end there. Now hurry along. It doesn't end on a low note. It doesn't end in darkness. It doesn't end with him being a slave to captivity. It doesn't end with that way. Notice verse number 28, the Bible says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes." Samson realized how foolish he'd been. And the Bible said he knew this failed God. He admitted that he was the one that was to blame. He repented asking God, "God, will you one more time, will you give me the anointing one more time, give me victory?" And the Bible says he was willing to die for the cause if God would just forgive him. And he repented and God would forgive him. He would give his life if need be. I'm going to read the 29th and the 30th verses. Samson took hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, with the other the left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Just as we, as a bundle of our tabernacle, are praying for God to give us one more visitation. One more revival. One more. And I'm going to close with three thoughts. Samson has literally brought God's name down. God's champion, God's man, blessed of God. And now, look at his life, and he's really brought the name of God down. And he says, God, for your sake, God, would you just avenge me one more time? Would you just anoint me one more time? And if the church, there's one thing about the church today that I could use in that regard. I think sometimes the church has gone such a way that God is no longer high and lifted up. So many of the church have tried to bring him down to their level. They call him so many names, Daddy God, and so many things. They're trying, Big Brother, whatever. A lot of names have been called. Listen closely. He's high and holy. He's high and mighty. And sometimes in our church, and I look, I was watching TBN just a short time last night. Some people that are on TBN dress like they dress worse. They would never be able to go to high school dressed that way when I was growing up. I mean, they look like, wow. What are you saying, preacher? I believe the church has let God down. And Samson said, God, for your sake, would you just anoint me one more time? Then I believe Samson is saying, God, for the people's sake, I've let the people down. I was their champion, and you blessed me, and you anointed me, and we had the victory, and we've won the victories over the enemy, and we've enjoyed a good time together. And you've been so good to us, but God, I've let them down, and now they don't have a champion. And for their sake, God, for their sake, maybe it's mama and his daddy. I've really ruined their name because look how I've lived, God, and that's not good. God, please, for my folks' sake and for the people's sake. Then probably Samson said, God, would you anoint me one more time for my sake? I'm the one that failed. We're living in a day when people like to blame everybody else for their failures. I don't care what is happening, somebody else's fault. Don't you know today, it's not someone else's fault how you're living. It's up to us. I'm going to close without any music. God, would you just anoint me one more time for your sake and for the people's sake and last of all for my sake. And God, I'll be willing to die if you just anoint me one more time. I'll be willing to give my life for your sake and for the people's. And for my sake, that people will know that I was anointed one more time. If you'll just touch me and anoint me one more time. For the Monday Life Tabernacle this morning, my prayer is one more time. One more time, God, anoint us. One more time, God, give us revival. For God's sake. For God's sake. People have laughed and mocked and made fun, but for God's sake, one more revival. For Brother Lou's family's sake, and for my family's sake, and for your family's sake, for the people's sake, give us one more revival. And then for us individually, no one needs it out yonder any more than us, you and me. For my sake, God, will you stand together with me? Hallelujah.